Tzerura Alapen Gimel Yutav Sadi Kabel Rinat Amchasad Veinu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun Nagi Bor Sheyechudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem rachamei tzidkatcha tamid gamlem. Betet Resh, Sadi Tav Gimel. Chasin Kadosh, Berov Tuvucha, Nael Adatach. Het Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayim. Yachid Geyer, Lamcha Benei, Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayim Kuf Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Tavumot Shin Kuf Av Tzadi Yud Tav. The Taf that created the planet Lavana, the moon, and the Chet that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, also known as the Cancer, and also created the Hebrew month of Tammuz. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper, but I'll say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed.
Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
All right. As we have been teaching, the Zohar is concealed during the 3 weeks because the light is too powerful for the vessel. And so rather than study Zohar during these 3 weeks, we study about the third temple. And we are studying from Mishkanei Elyon. Give me a second to get to it. Does anybody have any questions before I begin? We're in the website www.azamra.org/temple-secrets, one word. /introduction.htm, and we're about two-thirds of the way down the page talking about the first temple, Chokhmah. What you must know is that until now, all the lights and all the levels that have been based only on wisdom, Chokhmah, whereas in the future, the concealed beginning, Keter, will be revealed. And all the things will ascend to the greatest, most precious levels. Know too that the sin of Adam spoiled everything and caused all perfection to become concealed, with the result that the world was not even able to return to its previous state, the level of Chokhmah, except in the days of Solomon when the temple was first built. Thus it is written, and God gave wisdom to Solomon. For then wisdom was revealed in all its beauty and radiant glory, enabling all of the lights to shine with great strength and joy. In those days, on every level in all the worlds, there was only holy power and delight, the like of which had never been seen. Even so, because everything was based only on wisdom and did not reach the ultimate goal of Keter, this peace and tranquility came to an end, and the temple was destroyed. One of the items about King Solomon's era, the time when the temple was built and dedicated and lived, there were no wars during that period. We always talk in terms that there are 36 hidden tzaddikim against the 36 ongoing wars. There were no wars when the temple was built. This is what our part of our potential, besides eliminating death completely and all of the rest of it. We don't really understand what we have lost with the destruction of the temple. We don't understand how that works. And this book, Mishkanei Elyon, The Secrets of the Third Temple, is an attempt by Rabbi Luzzatto, to wake us up to what we have lost. Because nothing happens without desire in this world. And there are very few people truly desiring the third temple. Primarily because they don't know what it is. But the more we have desire from the vessel, the easier and sooner the manifestation takes place. Feel free to ask questions as we go along. The future temple, the Keter, but in time to come, when the hidden beginning I mentioned, the Keter, is revealed, the happiness will be far, far greater, and it will never cease. All things emanate from their source. Likewise, all the rules governing the lights and their functioning, whether in motion or at rest, follow their source. Any change in the source from which the lights receive affects the whole world. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. Any change in the source from which the lights receive affects the whole world. For this reason, in time to come, the world will undergo many changes. And the Holy Temple will certainly be different, since this is the place from which life is channeled to all the creatures in all the worlds. God does not change. Keter is concealed. It's one of the spiritual laws. People should sit with their hands, with their thumb inside their palm, somewhat concealed. This is the nature of the Keter. The Keter is neither light nor vessel, but there's a machloket, an argument for no reason. Excuse me. An argument for the search of truth. An argument for the revealment of truth. That argument says, we don't know if Keter is light or vessel. But understand this, lights in our frame of reference, in our discussion, are actually vessels. Because there is no true light except the extension of the Creator in the endless world. And we are in the endless world, but we don't sense the endless world. So what we sense and what we call lights can change because they are vessels. The first temple then corresponds to Chokmah, the wisdom that was given to Solomon and with which he built the temple, as I have explained, while the future temple corresponds to the hidden beginning, the Keter that was yet to be revealed. Nevertheless, there is certainly nothing new under the sun. All the changes and developments that have taken place and continue to take place every single day for the 6,000 years of creation were decreed at the very outset. Even so, in time to come, when the boundaries of Chokmah are surpassed, the world will enter a new state of joy. This is a great fundamental, though I will not discuss it at length now. Let me just say briefly that initially God made all things the way they were now on the basis of Chokmah alone. Yet they contain within them the power to be ordered according to the supreme beginning, the Keter. And when this beginning is revealed, everything will be drawn after it through the original power already planted within them at the outset. The entire creation will then be renewed as if it was born at that moment. That is why Isaiah spoke of the new heavens and the new earth, all of which was Isaiah's prophecy has been misunderstood and misquoted by the Western civilization, the churches, etc. But this idea, there's nothing new under the sun, but Chokmah, Keter, Chokmah Bina is not under the sun. The sun exists as Tiferet. Yes, the sun has a Keter. I'm playing with you so you understand the Sefirot. You begin to ask questions about the Sefirot. There is nothing new under the sun, but there is new things over the sun. Where are we talking about? When we talk about the temple, is it under the sun or over the sun? The next section. The third temple was built above at the time of the destruction of the first temple. And now I will reveal a very great secret. So apply your intelligence resolutely in order to descend to the depths of the matter. Know that this future temple is the one that Ezekiel the prophet saw immediately after the destruction of the first temple. You have already heard that the temple above never ceased to exist, even though the temple below was destroyed. For the temple in this world could only be built through the great power of the lights, the Sefirot, which radiated from level to level until they reached this world, producing the temple. In the absence of this power, the temple could not remain in this world. But this did not mean that the heavenly temple had to be destroyed. It simply became darkened and did not shine as at first. I'm confused by this statement that the third temple was built at the time of the destruction of the first temple. Why was it not built prior to the building of the first temple? I don't have an answer. Perhaps we'll get it as we read on. Feel free to comment if you have an answer or another question. Continuing, However, those familiar with the paths of wisdom know a great secret. Had those who lived when Solomon built the first temple not fallen into sin, but held firm to the path of purity, they would have ascended from level to level until everything was perfected. The world would then simply have changed directly from one state to another, and what was to have been revealed would have been revealed. The two paragraphs that I just read are really describing the two paths that Rabbi Ashlag talks about, one of chaos, pain, and suffering, and one of Torah. The two paths. Excuse me. The idea of Mashiach can come through miracles, through wonders, through overawe, just total awe, events that they've been described, they've been prophesied, but they've never occurred in the world up till now. That is one path, and that is the path of the first paragraph that I read in these two. The other path is one of natural process. The resurrection of the dead could very well take place through the improvements in the technology of science and medicine. The peace could come through the agreements of men, naturally, step by step. For the wonders to occur, it's my understanding, although I'm not clear on this, for the wonders to occur, the Armageddon War must take place. For the peaceful process of nature, step by step, as described here, what was to be revealed would have been revealed. What is to be revealed will be revealed. It doesn't have to be with wonders and miracles. Which do you want? Our consciousness will define how these things manifest. Continuing.
But, anyway,
yes.
The consciousness, is that on a plural level and not on a singular level that it would manifest?
Consciousness combines. So what your consciousness is and what my consciousness is totals with all of the other human beings to the consciousness of quantum level. Did that answer your question, Chris?
Yes, that's good.
Okay. But the influence of evil and the proliferation of sinners caused the destruction of the first temple that was built according to the initial design. When this happened, the heavenly temple no longer stood in its original form. In a single moment, it disappeared and was rebuilt in a different form and structure, that of the future temple. One building disappeared and the other appeared without so much as a hair's breadth between them. However, the new structure was not revealed in the lower world. Only in the future will it be revealed. But in the upper world from that day on, so it was and so it is. This implies, if it actually says it, but it's concealed. This implies that the cause of the building of the third temple in the upper worlds That cause was the destruction of the first temple. That the negativity associated with hatred for no reason, sinat hinam, which caused the destruction of the first temple, is the cause of the third temple being built. That's something that to me is overwhelming. To understand how this system works, it's just mind-blowing. Continuing, that is why Ezekiel saw it, for it was already built and standing. Had the Jewish people only been worthy, the redemption in the time of Ezra should have been like the redemption from Egypt, and their entry into the land should have been like Joshua's entry. Then they would have built the temple according to the plan seen by Ezekiel, and the two temples above and below would have been perfectly aligned. And why did it not happen this way? Because the people were not perfectly aligned with their Creator. The tikkun had not been achieved. The next section, differences between the presence of the Shekhinah in the first and second temples. Since the people failed to improve their ways, the redemption in the time of Ezra was a quiet affair, and they did not have the strength to build the temple according to the plan of the future temple. On the instructions of the prophets among them, they built it partly like the first temple and partly like the future temple, which already existed above. But the time was not ripe for them to build it entirely like the future temple. Thus, in the time of Solomon, the two temples, in this world and the higher world, were in perfect alignment. And accordingly, the Shekhinah found a resting place and dwelled in the earthly temple. But the second temple was not similar to the heavenly temple, and the Shekhinah did not dwell in it. There are many differences between the first and second temples if one does a study of the buildings in the Tanakh. One of which is very clear is the Shekhinah did not rest, did not come into the temple. And yet the actions took place, and people came to the Jerusalem three times a year and did their perform their sacrifices. Some did it correctly, some did it pasul. But ultimately, it was a natural process proceeding. The presence of the Shekhinah in the future temple. However, in time to come, not only will the two temples be similar, but the upper house will extend until it reaches the lower world. This is the meaning of the saying of our rabbis, that the third temple will be the work of the hands of God, for the heavenly temple will not be uprooted from its place. Rather, it will extend until it reaches the lower world, and then around it will be built a physical structure as fitting in this material world, and the two structures will be joined and become one, and will never again separate. God's glory will be fully revealed there, as it is written, and the glory of God will be revealed, and all flesh will see. Then there will be complete peace and happiness forever. This is a constant discussion. Will the third temple come from above down, or will it be built from above, from below up? And here we are answered. It will come from above down and be unified by the building that we build in the physical world. There is an allusion to this secret in the verse, the sanctuary, Adonai, that your hands established, Konenu. It's a verse from Exodus chapter 15. Chapter 15, if I'm not mistaken, is the Song of the Sea. The beauty of the limbs and ornaments of the Shekinah is revealed according to the way she receives. When the light of this beginning will shine, the glory of her crown, her keter, will be greatly exalted. Thus the sanctuary will be built on the foundation of keter, and the numerical value of the letters of the word konenu, which is 126, is equivalent to that of Aleph, Aleph Dalet Nun, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the squaring of the name Adonai, the name of God in the physical world, which shines in this crown. All these matters are very deep and far more rooted in wisdom than might appear. The next section, the last section of the introduction, titled Measuring the House with a Measuring Rod and Linen Cord. And behold, there was a man whose appearance was like brass, with a linen cord in his hand and a measuring rod. And the man said to me, Son of man, see with your eyes and hear with your ears, and set your heart on all that I will show you. A verse from Ezekiel, describing the third temple. In order for him to understand the third temple, there had to be a measuring stick to give him the dimensions. That's what this man made of brass, or appearing as brass, with a linen cord. Why do we need a linen cord? Why did he appear as brass? Perhaps that will be explained now. Note that all the dimensions of this house were measured with a measuring rod called a Kinei Hamidah. This great secret relates to my discussion about how this building is constructed in accordance with the lights of Keter. No matter where the lights spread out, every single one of them has within it the appropriate measure as it emerges from the source. It is this measure that keeps each individual light within its proper boundaries. Therefore, as this house is built in its proper form, the correct measure of every single part is fixed, and everything stands in the proper order. This is also discussing and describing DNA and the 46 genes, or the 23 pairs of chromosomes. All of the structure of humanity, of atoms, quantum level, physical level, all of it is tied into the same pattern. We just have to recognize that and start to look for the unity between all of these different things. Let me explain this. All the various chambers, courtyards, and other places are built by one builder. This is the ninth light called Yesod, the foundation. Called by the sages the light of the worlds, since it is the source of life for all. This light is called a rod. And now indeed it is the measuring rod, since it includes the quality of strict measure in order to set limits to the various buildings and structures that emerge from it. An interesting description. The man that looks like brass and the measuring rod. The man that looks like brass is Zeron Pin. The measuring rod is Yesod. Is Yesod connected to Zeron Pin? Or is Yesod connected to Malchut? It depends on whether they're in Zivug or not. It is really the linen cord, patil, that signifies the quality of strict measure. For linen is rooted in givurah, strength, strict judgment, and limitation. The cord consists of 10 very powerful lights, drawn from givurah to set limits to all things and keep each creature within its proper boundaries. These 10 lights are 10 names of God, of Hashem, all expanded with haze, known as the expansion of 52. As known to the sages, 52 times 10 equals 520, the numerical value of the letters Patil. These are the names of Givurah, which give measure and limits to all. It is from this cord that the light I mentioned, the rod, the Yesod, receives its quality of strict measure. It is then called the measuring rod, and all its buildings therefore emerge from it with their proper measurements. Know that 620 great and powerful lights emerged from the first light, the hidden beginning, the Keter that I mentioned earlier. They are rooted in two great names filled with power and strength. El, El. For as these two names display their great power and glory, each one spreads into 310 worlds. The numerical value of Kel is 31. 31 times 10 is 310. Twice 310 is 620. The numerical value of Keter, the crown. For these two names are set in a most exalted, awesome crown. 310 of these lights remained in their place, while the other 310 were given from Keter to Chokhmah and Bina. They were divided between them, so that each received 155, the numerical value of the word Kaneh, a rod. This is the secret of the verse. Acquire, kene wisdom, chokmah. Acquire understanding, kene bina. It is bina that sets limits and measures, for she is their source. When the quality of strict measure reaches yesod, it takes on her name and is called the measuring rod. See how all this results from the revelation of that beginning, for it is the source of these two rods. The left rod, the 150 lights of Kaneh, taken by Bina, is for measuring, as I have said. The length of the rod is 6 cubits. Each cubit is 6 handbreadths. See, therefore, how all the lights are bound together. In this light, which is called All, since all are contained within it, there are 6 directions. The 6 Ketzavot, alluded to the 6 Sephirot, from Chesed to Yesod, all of which are included in Yesod. And then when they are all connected to one another, they make 36, corresponding to the length of this rod, known as 36 handbreadths. Until now, I have spoken in general terms and set forth a comprehensive introduction to the subject. Now I will turn to specifics, and with the help of heaven, I will provide a clear, detailed explanation. of the form and structure of the temple in detail. I will follow the path of the flow of sustenance and blessing, the Shefa, as it emerges from the source and spreads forth on all sides. I begin, therefore, with the place from which the flow emerges, and I will tell you in which direction it travels after leaving there, and which path it takes at the beginning, and which path it takes at the end. That is the end of the introduction. The next section is titled The Temple Building. I think we will stop here today. It's a little early, and perhaps there are questions to answer.
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves. Presentation mode is on. Only organizers can be heard. Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.
Chris, any questions?
The third temple will be a physical manifestation that they will that mankind will see that comes down out of the heavens.
That is what is implied by this book. That's what's said very specifically here. If the translation is correct, that is what is being said. I have heard it expressed in two ways. I have heard it expressed that the third temple will fall from heaven. And I have also heard it expressed that it's so strictly consciousness and there will be no physical manifestation. And it really comes down to somebody's consciousness. What is it they want to see? And what purpose? Do we really need to have a physical temple with animal sacrifices and all of the appropriate things? Or can we achieve that same level of connection to the Creator through our consciousness? In my basic class, I teach a class called Consciousness. And in that class, I talk about the Moshe being told to speak to the rock so that water will flow from it. And then Moshe did not speak to the rock, he hit the rock. Because he knew that the people were not on a level to be able to even see a miracle that high. That words could manifest into a flow of water. The people were not on that level. Are they on that level now? Mind over matter is real. But are you on a level to see it? If you aren't on a level to see it, people will walk through a room, through a wall. People will do all kinds of miracles and wonders. But because your mind cannot make the connection, your consciousness cannot make the connection, you will not see that. It won't be that the person disappears and walks up in front of you. It will be that you will see them walk across the room. you will hear the door open because your mind needs that structure if that's the level of consciousness that you and others are on. There is no right or wrong to this. There's just levels of consciousness. Have I answered your question, Chris?
Yes. It's kind of confusing right now when I think about the consciousness level. And then read it in the Torah that it says it will do that. It will come down. So
there are two levels.
I ask myself the question.
Anywhere in Torah there are two levels. There is body and soul everywhere in Torah. Understanding body and soul on those levels, there will be two groups of people. There will be people who see with the overall consciousness, and there will be people who need the physical. There's a prophecy that says there are 7,000 people flying over Jerusalem. Are they in a plane? Or are they flying without wings? Those people who have studied and can make the consciousness of mental growth, they will be able to see and be those 7,000 people. Those people who have studied and struggled but do not yet have the ability, the cleansed aspect of ourselves, to make that connection, we'll see it somewhat differently. And those people who, through their lack of study and their lack of cleansing, will need to continue to study the Torah as it exists today, where there will be mitzvot and animal sacrifice, and we will need to know how to make those sacrifices and all of the rest of it. This is just two different levels of consciousness. There's no right or wrong. There's people being people. We're created by the Creator as people, as human beings. When they correct themselves, they become something beyond human beings, something closer to the divine. And there are many, many levels between here and there. No, we don't understand it. And that's okay. Does it mean we will never understand it? Of course not. Anything else? I blew you away with this one, huh?
Have you heard
the lecture on consciousness in the basic class?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
It's because I read the material, you want to raise your level of consciousness to levels higher than what you have, so you'll be able to have understanding.
You're breaking up because you're moving the microphone around.
Yeah, it's because you want higher consciousness to be able to have better understanding of these matters that will be developing in the future. That's my desire.
The desire is to have expanded consciousness. What does it take to have expanded consciousness? You have to ask your unconscious to reveal itself. That's expanded consciousness. What does it take to have a higher level of expanded consciousness? You have to cleanse yourself step by step. And the ultimate statement early in this reading today was that the temple, the upper temple and the lower temple have to be in alignment. Meaning the upper soul of a human being has to be in alignment with the lower soul. The soul of the human being has to be in alignment with the body. It's always there. There's always two levels. They always need to be in alignment.
Are you finished with that comment?
Yes, I am. Sorry for that.
Huh?
Sorry for that. That I didn't realize you didn't realize I wasn't through.
I'd like to share with you something that happened to me since I've been studying with you.
Go ahead.
Maybe you could throw some light on it. Is that all right?
Sure.
The other morning, this is a few days ago, I got up to go to the second bedroom to open the window.
Chris, should I stop the recording?
Yeah.